Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our worship service. Great to see you all here today. Let's begin by standing together and turning to hymn number 303, and we'll sing Worthy is the Lamb. 303. Jesus, we praise you for the blood he shed at Calvary's cross. There is wonderful power in the blood. Through him, through that sacrifice, we are cleansed from our sins, given eternal life, a future with you forever, the Holy Spirit dwelling within, empowering us all through his wonderful blood shed that day on the cross. It paid the price for sins in full and has set us free. We praise you for that. We praise you that the way to salvation is through faith alone in Christ alone, trusting in him to save us through the finished work at the cross. Father, thank you that we can be here this morning and proclaim that truth to one another and to anybody who might be visiting with us today, and to also remind us as we go out this week to share this message with others. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this hour. Thank you that we can remember him at the table that he instituted, the Lord's Supper, which we'll partake of in just a short while. We pray that that'll be a great and blessed time as we honor him and remember his death for us. And Father, we pray that you'd bless Pastor, fill him with your spirit as he brings the message. May we be challenged and encouraged and draw closer to you and to each other. We pray that all that is said and done in this hour would bring honor and glory to your name and lift the name of Jesus high. And we pray these things with thanksgiving and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Missionary to France is going to come say a few words. Isaiah chapter 42. Beginning at verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens, stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you to be able to be in your house this morning on the Lord's Day, to worship you, to rejoice in your goodness and grace and mercy. And Father, I want to pray especially today for your will to be done in this service and in all that we do, that we might bring glory to your name. We do want to pray for the missionary today, Cheryl Daly. Thank you so much for her testimony and for her witness for Christ and for her going back to France soon, going to England first. We pray that you'll be with her in a special way and give her traveling mercies and meet her needs along the way, guide and help in every way. We just pray too, our Father, for each and every one who is here today. Lord, look down upon us. You know our needs. You know our hearts. You know all about us. And so I pray that you'll meet the need of each one. Encourage us. Strengthen us. Help us. If there's anyone here today who's never known the Lord Jesus, we pray that this would be the day they would yield themselves to him, put their faith and trust in him. And Lord, we do pray for these who are suffering. We pray for Ellie especially as she's had this accident and concussion, and pray that you will undertake and meet her needs and restore her to health and bless her family. We pray too for Paul, as he'll be having surgery tomorrow, that you will watch over him and keep him through it all, and that it will be very successful. Lord, we just thank you for all your goodness to us today. Bless our visitors, meet their needs as well, and may each one of us look to you for every need that we have. Thank you so much for all that we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we do pray in his name. Amen.
Serve him, the sweeter he grows, the more...
All right, we're going to be looking at Isaiah 42 primarily. Isaiah has a great deal to say about the servant of the Lord. And David is called at one point a servant of the Lord in chapter 37, 35, I believe it is, 37, 35. It says, "For I will defend this city and save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." You know, David was one that God loved so much, because he was a man after God's own heart, as it says. But he was called a servant. Israel, the nation, is spoken of many times in Isaiah in as the servant of the Lord. For example, in chapter 41 and verse 8, it speaks of this. 41 verse 8. "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And then in chapter 43, in verse 10, it says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." And then in 49 and verse 3, "And he said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Then here in Isaiah 42, however, we find something different. It's not Israel that's spoken of as the servant, but he says, "Behold, my servant." This is a special person that's being introduced here as the servant of the Lord. It's an individual that's going to come. It's altogether different than anyone else. He's the only unique Son of God and the one who comes as the servant of the Lord. This is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's read, before we go into 42, let's go back over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and we find here that this passage of Scripture is quoted right here in Matthew, showing us very definitely who this is speaking about. Matthew chapter 12, verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." So here we find the servant described. He says, "Behold my servant." God is actually addressing here in this portion of Scripture in Isaiah the Gentile nations. God himself is speaking to the Gentiles primarily to let them know that he is the only true God, and that his servant will provide justice and righteousness to the Gentiles and to all people. This is the work that God has given to his servant, to bring forth justice and righteousness, and soon, someday he will complete the job. You know, he started already, of course. Notice what it says. "Behold" means to look intently, to fix your gaze upon. You know, the song we sing sometimes, it says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Look at Jesus. It says that in Hebrews, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we look to him, the one who provided salvation for us. You know, isn't it wonderful to know that through Christ we have eternal life? Jesus was a true servant to the Father. He said, "I do always those things which please the Father." You know, he didn't look to anyone else, you know. He looked to the Father. The Father had sent him, and he had come to present the message, to show us what God is like. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God the Son, and the one who reveals God in all of his glory in a human form. You know, that's unique, isn't it? No one else could ever do that. God himself came to be our Savior, our Lord, our Master, and to be the servant of the Father in every sense of the word. He delighted the Father. You remember, on several different occasions, it says Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus. Jesus is the beloved Son of God, and God was pleased with him in all that he did. At his baptism, on the Mount of Transfiguration, and wherever, he was always pleased with Jesus. We find his character here. It talks about that. Notice, let's look again in verse 1. He says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, the one I have chosen," right? "In whom my soul delights." There it is. He delights in him. "I have put my spirit upon him." You remember when Jesus was baptized? He came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit came upon him as like a dove. Yeah. And directed him throughout the rest of his life. And he says, I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Isn't that a strange thing to say? Jesus came what? He came to the Jewish people, right? Be this their Savior, to forgive their sins and all. But here it says he came to bring justice or judgment to the Gentiles. You know, he's concerned about everyone. You know, the message at first was to the Jews, yes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek, right? And so he's concerned about all of us. And he says he will bring forth judgment or justice to the Gentiles. And here we find his character. How was Jesus? We know from reading the Gospels. We know what kind of person he was. But here it's so beautiful. It says, "He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." He didn't have to go around announcing who he was and all this, you know. He didn't have to be boisterous and say, "Hey, look at me," you know, and all of this, no. He just went about doing his ministry quietly, and God blessed him in that way. He was gentle and quiet in spirit, and did not try to impress anyone, you know. He wasn't interested in oppressing the Pharisees, Sadducees, and all the religious leaders of that day. In fact, they were the ones that gave him the most trouble, weren't they? But anyway, we find here, it says that his voice would not be heard in the street. He was quietly working and doing the will of God. And then it said this verse 2, wait a minute, verse 3 it is. "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment and truth." Okay, you know, over in Israel, I understand, I was reading some of this, there's lots of these reeds that come up along the waters and everything, you know, reeds, those great long reeds. And the people use them for a lot of different things, but one thing was that they use them for flutes. You know, they make flutes out of these reeds. They have to be strong, they have to be healthy, I guess you'd say, in order to use them for making the flute. And then they can make beautiful music with that. But if there was a reed that was broken or not quite exactly right, what would they do? Just take it, throw it away, right? But Jesus, it says, "A bruised reed shall he not break." And he's not talking here about reeds. It's a picture to us, isn't it? He's talking about the people, his concern for others, even those that were perhaps not so savory. You know, Jesus was a friend of publicans, tax collectors, and sinners. You remember? "A bruised reed shall he not break." He doesn't cast us away because of who we are. No. He has concern. And here he is. Watching after these people. The lady that was caught in adultery, you remember? They brought him to Jesus. He said, "What are we supposed to do with her? Let's stone her," you know? He said, "No. He that is without sin among you, cast the first stone." They couldn't do it. So they all had to go away. And she said, Lord, Jesus said to her, rather, is there any man that accuses you? She says, no. So he says, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. See, that's what Jesus does. He changes us. He doesn't throw us away, but he takes us in. And he makes us his very own. And then the other part was, the smoking flax shall he not quench. You know, back in those days they used the oil lamps, right? And they had the oil and the wick. Anybody, you remember the old fashioned? I know my wife, I'd lived out in the country, here in Illinois, and they didn't have electricity or whatever at the beginning. And we had those kerosene lamps, you know, and you had to get the wick out and make sure everything was just right so you could get a nice light from it. And here, that's what he's saying. Smoking flax he would not quench. You know, people, when they can't use something, they just toss it aside or get something new, you know. Get a new wick. But he said, no, I'm going to care for you and meet your needs. So the smoking flax, he did not quench. He shall bring forth judgment and unto truth. Jesus, he's the one who is truth. Compassionate and kind and gracious in all of his ways. And he shall not fail. Notice it says in verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged until he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. He will not fail or be discouraged. Huh? You know, sometimes you wonder, what does God think of what's going on down here? Huh? What do you think? We get discouraged, don't we, sometimes? Do you ever get discouraged? I think we probably do sometimes. But Jesus doesn't get discouraged. You know? He knows. He's sitting on his throne. He's waiting. He's coming again. We're looking forward to that. And he's going to finish the task that he started. He already finished the most important one to us, right? On the cross. He cried out, it is finished, right? It is finished. We don't have to do anything except believe. Put our faith and trust in him and know that he will save us from our sins and give us eternal life. You know, now we serve him because we love him, right? He changes our life. He makes us something better, you know. So, anyway, he will not fail nor be discouraged, and we should not be either, right? Follow his example. Don't allow anything to turn you aside from following after Jesus, you see? He's the servant of God, and we are to be his servants as well. So, here, he's going to accomplish a task, provide justice, and do the will of the Father. That's the ultimate goal, isn't it? To do the will of the Father, to finish everything, and that still is going to happen. He will finish the task, even at great suffering to himself. And we certainly know about that, don't we? From reading the New Testament and here and seeing all that is going on in his life and the suffering that he was willing to go through for us. So notice a few scriptures here. I'll just mention these. In Matthew 20:28, it says, he came unto serve and to give his life a ransom for many. See, he died, yes, but he didn't die for his sins. He didn't die for himself. He died for others. He died that we might have everlasting life. Luke 22:27, I am among you as he that serves. See, that's his main occupation is serving. And In John 13, it speaks there about the time when he took a towel and he began to wash the disciples' feet, right? He was serving and not ashamed to do the most menial tasks, you know? And so here we have Jesus. And then that wonderful passage in Philippians 2, 7 and 8, said he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There it is. Jesus, the servant of God. And here he's describing him, the kind of person he is, and the kind of person that we should be as well, right? Following him. Then we find the servant is addressed here. God speaks to him. In verse 5, God says, he that created the heavens, stretched them out. This is the God, Almighty God, spread forth the earth that cometh out of it. He that giveth breath unto the people and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. See, he called the servant. He sent Jesus to be our Savior and the servant of God. And will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. The people here is Israel, of course, right? The people. So he speaks about, and for a light of the Gentiles. So that's the rest of us, right? He came to have a covenant, an agreement with Israel, yes, but also to be a light to the Gentiles. Cheryl was talking about the French people. So many of them don't know anything about God. We at one time were without any light as far as that's concerned. And the Gentile peoples lost, and Jesus came to be a light to them. Opened up the door. And to open, notice it says verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. See? Jesus opened the eyes. We see that many times in the Gospels, how he opened the eyes of the blind, gave them new light. You know, I was watching the other day on the this is a little different, but anyway, on the internet, it was showing these little children that couldn't see very well, and they had these special glasses that they put on them. You know, maybe you saw that. I don't know. But anyway, and you could just see the expression on their face when they could see, you know. It's like Jesus when he opened the eyes of the blind. Oh my goodness, they wanted to follow him everywhere he went, right? They could see, and you know, we can see things that we never would have been able to see without Jesus. He's the way to God, isn't he? He's the way. And we come to him. He opens the blind eyes. And he sets the prisoner free. Think of those that were loaded down with the demons. The one legion, wasn't it? How many did he have? My goodness. And Jesus sent them away. And he was free. And we are free as well in Christ. And he is our Savior. So God assures the servant here that he will be with him and help him. He describes in verse 7 some of the wonderful works which the servant here is performing. And he promises victory over all the other gods and idols. Verse 8, I am the Lord, that's my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So through the servant, God was glorified, right? Jesus came as the human form of God to exalt the Father and to show us who He is and to provide salvation for us. He gives victory over all the other gods around us, all the other idols. And then he breaks forth here in verse 10 with a song of praise to worship the Lord. Notice, sing unto the Lord a new song. And His praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the islands and the inhabitants, all of these people, let's sing unto the Lord. You know, it's wonderful to be able to lift your voice and worship the Lord. I thought we did a real good job this morning, too. Really nice. Thinking about this, singing and praising the Lord and giving glory to Him, praising Him for all that He is. Notice it says, verse 12, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare His praise in the islands. Praise the Lord for all that He is and all that He means to us. I found this these words. This is another preacher, but I thought this was a good one. It says, Jesus Christ is God's absolute, unique, 100% servant. He is unique in His commitment. He is unique in His compassion. He wasn't attracted to people who looked like they had life all fixed up and everything was working well, just as they had planned. He wasn't attracted to the perfect-looking reeds down by the riverside. What actually attracted Him were those that He ministered to and spent time with. They were battered reeds and smoldering wicks, many of whom society had totally given up on. But praise God that He is also unique in His endurance. Jesus Christ will not give up. He will not back down. He will not change plans. He will not be discouraged until He has established justice in the earth. And that is what He will do. That is what we long for. That is what we hope for. There is a day coming when His earth, this earth, is going to be transformed by the coming again of the Messiah and the setting up of His kingdom, where justice will reign from one end of the earth to the other. That is the hope that we have, and that is what we look for. But until that day, we need to behold the servant of God. We need to behold Jesus Christ. We need to behold His character. We need to turn our eyes and look into His face and to see who He is in us and through us. Amen. I have this one other thing here. I thought this was good. It's talking about a song by Bob Dylan, you know? I think there was one period of time when he sort of became a Christian and then wasn't after. But anyway, it's got a good message to it. Let me just give you this. It says, these are the lyrics. You have given everything to me. What can I do for you? You have given me eyes to see. What can I do for you? You pulled me out of bondage. You made me new inside. You filled up a hunger that had always been denied. You opened up a door no man can shut. And you opened it up so wide. And you have chosen me to be among the few. What can I do for you? That good? And thinking about that, what can I do for the Lord? You know, what can you do? Is there anything? He's given us everything. What can we do for Him? That's the point. Father, we thank You this morning for your servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. And we thank you to know that he died for us on the cross of Calvary, gave himself that we might be redeemed from all iniquity. And Lord, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, thinking about all that Christ has done for us, may our hearts rejoice, and may we truly worship you, serve you, honor you, and do the thing that you want us to do. What can we do for you? May your will be done, O Lord. Bless now as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.